The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've waited all week, and now the wait is over. It's the only unfiltered media podcast in America. This is Trash Talk on WEEI.com. Here he is, your boy, Blind Mike. Blind Mike.
All right, guys. So I didn't feel like doing a real show today, and I saw my my good pal, Lyndon Byers, NHL great, wandering the hallways.
Now, you know what? I should knock you off for that right now.
What does that mean?
No one calls me Lyndon.
He doesn't like that.
LB.
Oh, you don't like it?
No. Can you imagine growing up in Northern Canada? I go through this all the time. You know, we're tight. Right. You don't know me that well, but I grew up in a small town in Northern Canada with like 150,000 Indians that kicked my ass all day every day because I was named Lyndon and I had blonde hair, and so I convinced my father to call me LB.
Okay. So I thought it kind of just showed how good of friends we are, you know.
That's what
I was trying to establish. That we're good buddies.
Yeah, I know. You're pulling that fake respect thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like F smiling me, right?
So I wanted to have LB on A because I'm lazy and I knew he's a good guy to talk to, but B because this is a media podcast and you've been in media for many years now.
Yeah. This is like 22 years at AAF. I put in 2 years at EEI. Me and Cycle Lions were the first big show with Big O back in the day.
How was? What do you think of Ordway?
I love Ordway.
Really?
Ordway's amazing. Groundbreaker.
He is.
Takes all the money.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He gets all the money and you get an hourly wage. But yeah. You know? Love their midday show on EEI. You know, it's awesome.
So you started at ESPN in your media journey.
I did the big show with
The big show first.
With Big O, and then I went and did ESPN playoffs for the NHL way back. Oh gosh, I don't know what it was, but I did. I spent 8 weeks on the road living out of a hotel. I think I've got to be the only stupid idiot that said see you to ESPN. I was pulling down like $4,500 a week doing NHL playoffs, and I worked for them for like 8 weeks. And I remember going into Larry Christensen's office, the head of hockey at that time. I'm not sure if he's still there. And I said, so am I going to live out of a hotel for like how long? Like for 2 years? You know, that really sucked. And he's like, you're the B guy, dude. You know, what do you think you're taking over Steve Levy's gig?
Right.
Not happening. And I was still spoiled. I had just retired, and I missed my friends. I missed being in Boston, you know, because you lived in Bristol.
Right.
And, you know, well, I didn't live anywhere. Basically, I had a hotel room in Bristol, but then I was on a plane and traveling from city to city to city doing NHL playoffs.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I don't think this gig's for me.
Did you ever think about getting back into Nashville? Because a guy like you would be an interesting, because you got a personality, and I feel like there's not a lot of that. There's not a lot of that in sports media in general
that.
Now.
That's nice.
But
that's
especially hockey. I feel like there's not a lot of guys like that that are kind of, you know, willing to say some shit.
Well, it's like anything, you know. That's code for I'm a nitwit, and I'll say anything I want anytime I want. But I think that's why, you know, I fell in love with, you know, EEI and AAF. You know, everybody lets me be me, and I don't pretend. If I want to call somebody a dick, I call them a dick. Like who's coming to punch me out?
Right.
You know what I mean? Mookie Betts, whatever.
Right.
You know, you suck today. I can't call you out. So And I don't mean to pick on Mookie. He's having an incredible year. He's amazing. All I'm saying is that, I try and stay real and tell it like it is and talk about sports, how sports really happen, like what really happens in locker rooms, you know, that people don't get it. I you know what I love about people?
Tell me.
When they talk about sports is you go home and you brawl with your brother. But then you go to Fenway, you go to the Bruins, you go to the Celtics, you go to the Patriots, and you think everybody's like hugging and holding and best buds and it's all good. Everybody has bad days. Everybody has life issues and it's not all perfect. And that's the key, to getting it done is you got to dial it all in and make it as happy as you can make it. And winning is everything. If you're winning, everyone's happy. If you're losing, everyone hates each other.
What do you think of the sports talk media in this time? Because generally, people say Boston's a tough place to play because the media is so harsh. But I feel like, really, there's maybe a couple talk radio shows that go hard on guys. Other than that, at least lately, it seems like it's been pretty light. What do you think of the sports media here?
I think it's my whole thing with sports talk radio is that it would be nice if guys were legit and didn't make stuff up to fill 4 hours, so they have to make up crap.
Right.
You know,
like who's an example of someone that makes stuff
okay,
up?
Okay, so what? Brad Stevens. I can't believe he blew it. Brad Stevens is a chump. I'm like, what? Jason Tatum. Are you kidding me? The kids are, the Celtics had a great year. Athletes wake up every day and want to do the best that they can possibly do. Granted, there are guys that pull a chute. There are guys that, play for the dough. Like, everybody losing their minds about Hanley Ramirez. Hanley Ramirez sucks. Go look at his stats for the Red Sox.
Right.
The guy is a contract chaser. I mean, and that's why, first of all, that's why the Red Sox got rid of him at the beginning, because they sent him south, because he's a contract chaser. He didn't do squat. When it's his contract year, he's amazing. Well, not for nothing. So he's making $22 million for however many years. The Sox would have owed him $44 million for this year and next year. And the only reason he was playing awesome, the guy wouldn't even play first base. Remember that?
Yeah.
Guy wouldn't even play first base. $22 million, guy wouldn't play first base.
Right.
Oh, wait a second, my contract's going to be up? And it's his option next year, so that's why the Sox gas piped him. But people go off on the Red Sox ownership for gas piping Hanley Ramirez for 4 hours on Sports Talk Radio. You're like, really, dude? Have you paid attention to Hanley Ramirez's career?
Are there
like Tuukka Rask? Everybody dumps on Tuukka Rask in the Sports Talk Radio. They dump on Tuukka Rask. I'm like, don't wish for what you don't want, because Tuukka Rask is one of the top five goaltenders in hockey. I will say this: Braden Holtby was amazing last night.
Are there any shows or media members in particular that you think have a habit of doing that, just kind of making stuff up for a reaction?
Well, I think they all do. You have to fill 4 hours.
Are there any that are the most egregious?
I'll just say this: you find me a sports talk radio show that all the guys on the show up when they're supposed to go on the air and have never had some pre-canned meeting,
right?
And we're going to do this, then we're going to do that, then we're going to do this, then we're going to do that.
And you react like that. Yeah. I would say Kirk and Callahan don't do that. I would say that's
the one. That's the one example. I love those guys.
Yeah.
Love those guys. Lou and Christian and Big O. They have their meetings. Because Big O's, he's like that.
Right.
He runs the show, so you gotta be in the office. And okay, this is what we're gonna do, and then we're gonna go here, then we're gonna go there. But they fall out of that, and I'm a big fan of their show. I'm a big fan of Zoe. Okay. I don't like Beetle.
Zoe and I have beef now.
Oh really?
Yeah. He liked me when I used to work for Barstool Sports.
Yeah.
And he liked me when I was there.
Love El Presidente.
He's a man.
Yeah, yeah, he's a man.
But Zolak liked me when I was there, and then kind of, not took me under his wing, but like, he had me on his show, and he would talk, like, gave me a little advice, stuff like that. And then when I came here, like, he unfollowed me, stopped responding to my messages, stuff like that. I don't know what happened, but
it's like,
I liked him, but
athletes are loyal, you know,
playing for the rival team.
Yeah.
You know? So what? It doesn't have to fucking pretend I don't exist now.
Well, no, and Z is a what do they call that? A-plus personality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he you know, dude, not for nothing. When you're that big.
Oh, right.
Right? If I'm, you know, Z, I've known Z forever.
Yeah.
You know, we've been super great buds for a long, long time. And you know, it's just an athlete, you know, it's an athlete mentality. Either, you know, you're on my team. If you're not on my team, then see you later.
Yeah. Would you ever want to do sports talk radio, or do you prefer kind
of love
it. Man, where it's like you can kind of more talk about whatever you want?
Look, I'm lucky I get to do the Sports Minute twice a morning. I fuck it up all day, every day, you know, because I just, in my mind, people get up every day. And the people that listen to our show or listen to Sports Talk Radio, they listen so that they can laugh, so they can get invigorated to tackle the day because life is hard. You know, I'm married. I got 3 kids. I got to work 12 hours today running a front-end loader. You know, so if I can, if you know, my mentality is if I can make, whether it be on Sports Talk Radio or AAF, where I've been blessed to be for 22 years, my goal is to make people laugh and put a smile on their face so that, you know, when they get to work and everybody's stressed out, they're talking about what made them laugh, and the next thing you know, it's noon, and they're halfway through their work day, you know?
Right.
So that, you know, my mentality is my life is a gift. I played pro sports. I played sports my whole life. And now I'm lucky enough to do radio, which is not work. And I say that all the time on AAF.
Right.
I talk for 4 hours a morning. I'm blessed to be able to meet kids like you that are getting in the biz, that are going to be amazing. And, you know, I just want to make people smile. And it's like, fucking life is hard enough. You know what I mean? So if you're stuck in your car, which is how sucky is that?
Yeah.
Is there anything worse
commuting
than traffic?
Right.
So if I can make you laugh while instead of feeling pissed off and flipping somebody off in the other car, when you know there's not a bigger compliment on the planet than when someone calls our show and says, "That was hilarious. I was just stuck on the Mass Pike for like 40 minutes and 7 cars were howling at what you guys were talking about."
How did you get into the Hillman Show?
Hill Dog? I was doing ESPN and then I bailed.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, I blew a 150 grand party in my face off, flying around the planet, banging a bunch of hot chicks and getting loaded. And then my agent said, "Yo, kid, you weren't Cam Neely and made, you know, 1.2 a year. You're going to be broke in like 3 years if you don't simmer down." And I came back, and Hillman asked me, "I'm going on vacation." You know, I knew Hill Dog.
Did you actually blow $150,000?
I don't even know. It could have been more.
Jesus. How did you do? Just partying your ass off?
Well,
and how long a time span?
Well, it's like when you think you have more money than God, you know, you go to Hawaii, you don't go for a week.
Right.
You go for 38 days. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gets a little expensive. You go to the Greek islands, you fly to Finland to see your buddy, you know.
I think I make like $8 a year. So the idea of $150,000, I just can't imagine spending in any amount of time. So your agent says you're going to be broke if you keep living like this.
Right. So I knew, you know, so then I knew I had to get a job. And then, so that's when I started with the, you know, the EEI, then ESPN, then Hillman.
Did you know Hillman beforehand, or how did you end up on
the show? We were buds. We used to roll together.
Okay.
You know?
Well, and how did you know? Just from
gosh,
it wasn't
you know what? You know, no, it's a great story. We talk about it on the show all the time.
Oh, okay,
Liz Wild used to be the midday.
I remember
chick,
the name, yeah.
And she was. It was your typical radio story where she sounded so hot. And so I called Hillman because Hillman used to come with his buddies to my buddy Stevie Kai's bar in Malden, where I lived when I was playing. And so I called Hilda because I knew him from the bar. And, you know, we used to go downtown. You know, we were young. We used to rip it up, shred it up, you know, hit the nightclubs, do whatever. And I call him. I'm like, hey, I got to meet this Liz Wild. And then he, you know, and his, you know, he knows me. So inside he's like, this is going to be great. So I got a limo, and I limoed out to Whispero. I'm not sure if they're in Westboro or they were in Worcester. But anyway, so I limo up to go see the show. God bless her. She's an amazing talent. She's awesome. But she wasn't my type. And so that's, you know, that's when we kind of first met. And right. Then once I got done with the ESPN, it was Christmas holidays, and he called me. He's like, I'm going to go on vacation for 7 days. Do you want to come and do the show? And he goes, you know, if you like it and you do good, then, you know, we'll see what happens. Yeah. And so I went and did it, and 22 years later, here we are doing a podcast.
And how is your relationship? Because you guys started as friends, and then, you know, you see a million relationships in radio. You look at, even here, John Dennis and Kirk Minahan, or sure, Mike and the Mad Dog. There's a million guys. You know, when you work together in radio, talking for 4 hours, that relationship is strained a lot. How's your, you've been with him for 2 decades now.
Yeah, right.
So how's that with you two?
Well, you know, we're good. It's like anything. Like I said, you know, what, you have you ever been mad at your mom?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Is it just once a week? No. Right. Some days it's 3 days a week. You know, I think you have to find, he has a life, both his kid, Brees, is going to college, Jules is already in college, he's got his life, he has, you know, a wife, he has a house up in Maine, he, you know, he does his stuff. I think it just, it's evolutionary.
Yeah.
Where you have to put your, I think it would be silly to take stuff personal. You know, I can tell you to go fuck yourself if you deserve to be told go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Would you hate me for that if you knew you deserved to be told go fuck yourself? So I think it's about being modest. Everybody has an ego. We wouldn't all be in this business. You wouldn't be trying to get in this business if you weren't
narcissistic on some level.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are there, like, when I get to listen to the Hillman Show, it seems like kind of a fun environment. Like, it seems like you guys all get along. Are there ever, and I assume the answer is yes, but are there ever, like, real blow-up arguments that kind of boil over into, things? Or?
Yeah, no, there was only, I don't even know how many years ago it was. I think the only time, I think we were up, where were we? Oh, we were at Loudon. And it got so heated that I left. I just walked off the show in the middle of the show at like 8:15. And then when I got down, I took the elevator downstairs. We were at New Hampshire Motor Speedway.
What made you walk off the show?
I don't know. Saying, you know, I pissed him off. He pissed me
off.
Okay,
you don't remember what the argument was?
I would never. I don't remember what time is it. I don't remember this morning show.
I tell Scal
all the time. I walk into the cave with the fellas, and I'm like,
who are you again?
What were we talking about like last time?
Yeah.
You know, but it's like anything. You have to, you know, I don't know. I just, all I can ever say to anybody that gets in the business is, you're here for a reason. You're very good at what you do, and because you're good at what you do is because you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you know that you're you.
Yeah.
So it's your way or the highway. I you know, always respect people. You know, my dad, I've said this a gazillion times on the show, and I told a million people the two best things my father ever told me was, he said, never let anyone wipe the smile off your face. And he said, it takes 2 seconds to be a dick, and it takes 2 seconds to be nice. If you're a dick, no one's going to ever talk to you again. If you're nice, even if they think you're a dick, they'll probably cut you a break,
right,
and everybody's going to move forward, and everybody's going to be successful.
Right. Is there anyone, we've talked about who you like in media, is there anyone that you really, and you know, I know you kind of come in here, do your thing, go, you don't necessarily interact with guys you don't like necessarily, there isn't a reason to, but is there anyone in media that you hate right now, like that you just despise, that you would, you know, get in a feud with if you saw them? No one?
No.
That
nobody.
Upsets me.
I will say this. My favorite person in the media is Shag Shaughnessy.
Your favorite person?
Yes.
I've never heard that from anyone. It's usually their least
favorite. Yeah, you know why? You know why? Because everybody's pissants and butthurt. Because Shag's, he doesn't just say stuff to say stuff. Shag's is real. He's always been real.
Right.
You know?
You know,
he's a great he's a great writer. He's a great on-air person now.
Yeah.
And he's got the worst hair in the world.
I said that early on in this podcast. I said there's a difference between trolling just to do it and what Shaughnessy does. Like, when Shaughnessy writes an article that opposes what everyone says, you feel like he believes it. As opposed to a lot of guys now that are just kind of saying shit to get a reaction.
100%.
And you don't even believe it.
Yeah, but that's what we're talking about, Sports Talk Radio.
Yeah, right. Like Tony Maz, I think, you know, like, a lot of stuff.
Are you familiar with Kevin DuPont?
I think he's
retired from the Globe. You know, he used to he was the Shag Shaughnessy of hockey. He was he was all hockey, and you know he was the same way. You know, athletes used to hate him because he wrote that you sucked yesterday. I mean, we're in Boston. I played at the Boston Garden. People leaned over the upper deck and, you know, told me I fucking sucked.
Yeah.
And you're like, I know, I'm sucking really bad. I'm trying to dial it in, but I appreciate that you know sports. And that's the great thing about great sports towns. And it's not just Boston. You know, I'm not a homer. You know, it's Detroit. I wouldn't go L.A. I wouldn't go Florida Marlins. You know, but there are cities that fans don't care about what the ticket price costs. They love the game. They'll pay whatever, and they watch every day, and they know every player. They know what every player does. They understand that. You got Mitch Moreland, and he's a home run hitter, and he's amazing. And then you have Brock Holt, who was an all-star. Then John Farrell basically just eliminated the dude, you know, and thank God that Sox ownership kept him, that you find your role.
Right.
He can play every position in the game. He's a good hitter. And I hope they give him a shot to keep playing because he deserves it. But, you know, I was a meathead. Well, I was a meathead for a reason. You know why? Because Cam Neely, who was one of the toughest guys in the NHL, would fight anybody. But do you want Cam getting a hat trick and me punching the guy out? Or do you want Cam punching the guy out and me getting no goals because I wasn't good enough to get a hat trick?
Right. One of the stories we were going to talk about today, if we were doing a regular show, was this Brian Colangelo thing.
Yeah,
and Dan told me you had some thoughts about it. If you don't know, Brian Colangelo was essentially making fake Twitter accounts to go after players on the Sixers, and it was his way of, like, I guess, striking back against the team without doing it under his own name. What did you think about that story?
I think everything's misconstrued. Okay, so if you're a GM and a president of an organization,
right,
I can walk down to the locker room. And I can belittle you to your face in front of your teammates and pull a shitstorm, which, you know, like I was saying to Scal and you guys in the cave, is that everybody's different. You know, I know you've probably got a friend that freaking is the most sensitive guy on the planet. You can't even tell him, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to hang out with you tonight. What, do you hate me?
Oh, yeah.
You know, what do I do? Why are you mad at me? And you're like, bud, I have a life. I crashed my car today and some chick gave me herpes. It's not about you all day, every day. So it's about a locker room, you know, and, it, you know, you have to. You know, I don't know how many guys are in baseball, but in hockey, there's 26 guys. Think about football. You know, there's 54 guys.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got a skipper, a manager, a coach, a GM, a president, an owner that has to manage all these personalities to make sure that everybody's happy. Because if everybody's happy, everybody wins. If everybody's confident, everybody wins.
Right.
So imagine the chore it is to motivate. How do you motivate somebody that makes $34 million a year?
Yeah.
Do you go down and belittle them to their face? Because you know what he's going to do? He's going to go fuck yourself. I'm going to cash my fucking $34 million this year, and you know, I'm going to get a max contract from somebody else.
Yeah.
So you've got – and what I love about the whole everybody's in this – I can't – you know, I have such an issue with ESPN because they just dig to – they just – it's like they poke you.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yes. Yeah, there's so many shows on ESPN, and there's no sports. It's like, what do you talk about the NFL right now? It's like, really, you're doing a story
where's about, Tom Brady today?
Yeah, exactly.
Again, that just drives me nuts. Where's Tom Brady and Gronk? I'm like, so they need to be out with some stiffs that are trying to get a gig on the practice squad. In t-shirts and shorts. They're not even in pads.
Right, yeah.
Okay? It's not even contact. So you've got a and what I love about it is it's okay for everybody else and ESPN to monopolize social media, right?
Right.
Every show on ESPN. You got – what's that? You got – what's the kid's name? He's already got two phones.
Oh, Schefter.
Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter. He's got two phones. Like he's doing a TV show, and then he's pretending like, oh, I'm getting a call from a president. it's the 49ers. You know, but that's okay. But when a president of a team uses social media,
yeah,
and we
I think the problem
we don't
is
even know what it is. For all intent and purposes,
right?
Daniel's not here. You can say it.
Yeah, his ex wife. He probably banged some stripper, and his ex wife is miserable and fired up four other accounts.
That's a bold yeah. tip. But I think the problem is that he wasn't using his name.
Would it not be irresponsible if a president and a GM of an organization? Why is it that he can't use social media to poke his athletes to be better? And I said it's all about promotion. It's like the NFL. I think the 76ers had a great run, and they've been irrelevant for 25 years since Dr. J. Okay,
sure.
So what better way to keep your team in the media as a president? The NFL, why is it okay that Roger Goodell does it all day, every day? Right?
Right.
Really? Oh, yeah, the combines are exciting. Yeah. You got a bunch of college chicks masturbating, watching these super tight dudes that they want to nail. Running a 40-yard sprint. Oh, that it's on ESPN for 8 hours. And then this guy, the president of the 76ers, wants to make his team... You know, keep them in the media, let everybody know that, you know, they're getting better, motivate his athletes, motivate his players. But this guy, it's just bizarre to me.
Right. Real quick, the EEI has gone through some, like, especially when I first started this podcast, EEI's had a lot of controversial shit. They had to go through sensitivity and all that. Have you found on WAAF that you've been restricted at all? In this day and age, not even WAAF necessarily, but just in this day and age of what you can and can't say.
I'll just say this to you.
Okay.
What was it, last Wednesday I told that guy to blow me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Answer.
Well, you have to understand, AAF is just a different beast than everybody else. And times have changed. We've changed.
Well, that's more I literally. If it's any different than it was 20
years ago. I painted an American flag on the Friday before July 4th weekend on a beautiful young lady that is now a lawyer.
Okay.
I painted an American flag, and she was naked in our studio, and I painted her body.
Okay. That sounds like good clean
fun. And then, that was really cool.
And when was it? How long ago was this?
Oh my God!
Years ago.
Yeah. Ten years. You could never pull that off.
That's what I'm saying. You never pull it off. How much different is it now?
But I had the paintbrush, and when I was done painting the flag, I used the paintbrush on her hoo ha to make her come. Damn, the good old days, man. The good old days.
It's amazing the point when I saw where that was going. Like, I didn't see that coming, and then there was a point where you tell that story where I was like, okay, I know.
God bless her.
I couldn't warn you. God,
you know what? It was like, God bless her. America.
So you couldn't do that now, is what you're saying.
That would never, I would be so fired in second.
Right. When do you feel that type of shit change? Was there like an incident, a particular time where that stuff started to go away?
It was very gradual.
Yeah.
Very gradual. I think, you know, it's like society.
We
call it, you know, now everybody says it's a pussification of America. Sure. I just think that
we're evolving.
I just think people are getting very sensitive and they're getting louder about being sensitive.
Sure, yeah. Social media has a lot to do with that too.
Yeah, social media, right.
Were you here when Opie and Anthony were here?
Of course.
Did you know them at all?
I love them.
Okay.
They're amazing.
I grew up in Opie and Anthony.
I used to literally, I used to do the morning show and stay at the studio to go on their show.
Opie and Anthony?
Yeah.
How was your relationship with them?
Amazing.
Good guys.
I mean, obviously they've blown up, you know.
Sure,
they're in New York and you know, they're pulling down, you know, big dough, and I'm so happy for them. They so deserve it. They're amazingly talented guys, and I thought it was a huge mistake. I mean, obviously we're not, you know, Intercom wasn't even in the picture back then. I don't even know what the company who owned us that fired them, which was the biggest mistake of all time. But the biggest mistake of all time by the company that gave them the greatest break of their lives. And they've earned every penny. They're hilarious. They're amazing. And they're great people.
Right.
Great guys.
Well, I've always said they kind of, in a way, ruined radio with the Sex for Sam thing, the thing they got fired for in New York, because that was the first time where you saw a number one show get fired for something inappropriate, quote unquote.
It's one of those things. It's like life. If you want to be the best race car driver, you're gonna pull a move that no one's ever. You know, it's like Talladega Nights. Or no, not Talladega Nights. It's what's the Tom Cruise movie? Race movie. Come on.
Damn.
Come on.
I have no idea.
It's not. I don't.
Not even in my wheelhouse.
Mission Impossible. It's not Mission Impossible.
No, we're talking about NASCAR.
Yeah, NASCAR.
With Tom Risky Cruise? Business.
No.
It was Need for Speed?
No, it was Tom Cruise and Duvall told him you can go to the outside.
Okay.
But he was never supposed to go to the outside, but in order to win the race, because if you go to the outside in NASCAR, the top of the track, you crash.
Right.
And, you know, that's what life is all about. It's about getting 8 inches over the fence and not falling off. If you go 12 inches over the fence, you fall off, right? So that you got to be willing. You know, a lot of people don't even go near the fence.
Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder.
There we go.
Okay.
Thanks, Gal.
I got you.
I never would have come up with that.
Yeah. So that's what this business is all about. It's about being able to take risks. That's why Opie and Anthony ended up. Imagine if they ever never did the mayor, whatever his name.
Mayor's dead. Yeah.
Yeah. On the plane.
Right.
On April Fool's Day. Then imagine they were. I think they were making like 100.5 at AAF at whoever owned us, and then they end up with a 5-year, $3 million deal in New York.
Right.
Because they pulled the crazy stunt.
Right.
Are you willing? You know, it's all or nothing.
Are you willing to take that risk?
You gotta. That's what life is all about. Are you willing to take that risk?
Real quick, I'll let you go in a minute. But first of all, did you hear that your boy Scal here is beefing with Donnie Wahlberg?
Oh, really?
Donnie Wahlberg, yeah. So I watched that that documentary, Anything Is Possible, on the 08 Celtics the other night. That was on NBC Sports
Boston. I watched it.
It was really good. You know, they're talking about how the team came together, and I tweeted out that...
You're wrong about this, by the way.
I think I'm right. I tweeted out, I'm like, there's no way that they were going to take Kevin Durant first overall. I said they were totally in on Greg Oden, and Donnie Wahlberg started chirping at me, saying I'm wrong and all this kind of stuff. So I was just wondering, if you had any fun Donnie Wahlberg stories from back in the day.
I know the Wahlbergs.
Yeah.
You know, New Kids on the Block. That was my era. You know, I was on. You know, they played on a boat. We did a Boston boat cruise with, you know, 400 smoke show, 22-year-old chicks, and those guys played live, and we all got to know each other a little bit.
Right.
But they blew up.
Yeah.
I became, see you later. But, I mean, you know, the Wahlbergs are still super nice to me. They do a charity golf tournament. The whole family are really, really, really awesome, typical, super nice blue-collar Boston people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I was in L.A. and called up Mark, depending upon how busy he was,
yeah,
he might hook me up with something. You know what I mean?
Get you a bit roll.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm lucky enough to call him and maybe get him to, you know, he used to come on there, you know, he'd call into the show when it, you know, they were opening the restaurant and everything. But yeah, I loved it. Wahlburgers is awesome.
Yeah.
The whole family are the funniest fucks on the planet, man. They're just a great, great, typical Boston family.
Yeah, I was laughing because that morning after I wake up and I got Donnie Wahlberg chirping at me over, because I guess he narrated the special.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it was pretty funny.
Well, did you keep it going?
I tweeted back at him, but no, I haven't gotten a response yet.
He must have just been following that hashtag, I guess.
He must have been searching himself.
Okay.
Probably.
Those guys are so big.
Yeah.
Right.
It's probably not even, you know, it's probably one of his people. He probably saw it and then told one of his minions to get back at this flick.
Yeah.
Last thing before I'll let you go is anyone you want to trash before I get out of here? I like, you know, usually this podcast is a lot more hate-filled. You brought an enlightened sensibility to this show.
I'm trying to think of who I know. Yeah, see, everybody thinks I'm like the mean guy on AAF.
Like that?
The callers get me going. Who is a dick to me? I really, honest to God, I do not waste any energy on the outside crap. I haven't been in a shit show for a while, except for that dude. But I'm not going to bring him up on the show.
You and Derek get into it quite a bit.
Oh, that guy.
Oh, Derek's a pretender. Please,
Steelers fans.
Derek just loves to hear his voice on the radio. I love him. He's a great guy. He's awesome. He's a good family man. His kid's a stud, man. His kid's mixed martial arts.
I just saw. Speaking of studs, the eighth grader from Cambridge just got a full offer from Michigan. Jim Harbaugh came and like slept over at a house in Cambridge and like, the kid's a linebacker. The kid's in eighth grade. He's 13. He's 6'3", 225.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Harbaugh gets his nuts busted by a lot of people.
The sleepovers are kind of.
Dude.
the teenagers.
But it's genius. You know.
He goes and plays video games.
You're talking about the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah.
Okay. So you end up having one of the best talents in the country before everybody knows he's a talent.
Yeah.
You know, it's called hard work.
Right.
Like, you know, Harbaugh doesn't sleep, man. I think the guy's up like 23 hours a day watching video of youth football.
And shopping for khakis.
Yeah. Now, dude, if he pulls them up any higher,
I know.
It's getting old. How about the new fake glasses?
Yes, the hipster glasses.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, LB, we'll let you get out of here. What does a regular Thursday consist of when you leave this place?
Well, Wednesday's my Friday.
I've heard that.
And then, you know, Thursday's Friday. I'll probably leave you guys, head back to Asshole's Garage, which is my buddy Richie's place. I used to live beside him. Now I live in Holliston because I got a little big man, the Wilster, who's crushing it in sports, and we're all going to be multimillionaires in like 8 years. Speaking of Michigan.
There you go.
Yeah.
Harbaugh's listening.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, Harbaugh, if you're listening. Will Byers. Laser
That's
show.
That's a good quarterback name, Will Byers.
Laser show in flag football for Holliston this year. And, you know, and shout out to Eric Lindstrom just for that. He's one of the head coaches, and I appreciate all those guys. But, yeah, he's crushing it in hockey, whatever. But what was the question?
I think I just said, what are you doing the rest of the day?
Yeah, so I'll head back to Asshole's Garage and matinee, you know, my Billions homeland, catch up on Hockey Central. I always watch Hockey Central from noon to 1. And then my little man gets off the bus at 3:18, and I'm always there to grab him.
Beautiful.
And then he'll kick my ass in EA Sports football, then hockey, and soccer. And then and that's pretty much it.
Well, a real family man, this LB.
Not really. I tear it up. I tear it up too. But
that's what I wanted to hear.
Listen, you put your time in. Yeah, no, I'm not shy. I've been to Casey's. I know where that place is. It's a good pub. You got the Greenhouse Pub out in Mendon. You got my old place, Angry Ham's Garage. You know, once in a while, I try and get Danielle down to the Cap Grill, crush a couple of martinis, have a nice steak.
You ever go for it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, we're friends. Strictly platonic. But yeah, that's about it. What about you guys? What do you guys got going?
Oh, you know, just...
Bang some strippers? Huh?
Yes, if you know me, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Head out to Centerfolds in Northboro.
There you go.
Huh? Go for the cheese.
Yeah.
What stupid knob?
That is the image I've created around.
What stupid knob goes to the? I won't put the place in Boston. I won't say the name, but it's very expensive. So why go very expensive when $200 goes a whole lot longer? In the way department, if you know what I'm saying about
words to live by.
Words. Exactly what department. I was. The perfect thing to end on. A life lesson from my man, LB. LB, thank you for doing this.
No worries, man.
Glad to have you, my man.
Hey, it means the world to me that you guys even want to talk to me.
I love it. As always, subscribe on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating, positive review. And WEI.com, radio.com app, all that shit. And we'll see you later.
You've been listening to Trash Talk with Blind Mike. Hear it again on WEEI.com, iTunes, and the radio.com app. Tune in next week for another edition of Trash Talk, a presentation of WEEI.com.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.